Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
A few years after the year 1900, a little girl was born to English parents. From when she was old enough, her mother sent the little girl to Sunday school. But when she turned 14, she thought she was too grown up to go anymore. She had a problem which upset her. When every other teenager was growing tall, she didn't grow at all. This meant she was much shorter than her friends. However, she had beautiful black hair. God gave her both of these things to help her in the work that He wanted her to do in China. Until she was 26 years old, Gladys lived a very worldly life. One day, a group of her friends went to a revival meeting. She went along just for the laughs. The preacher spoke of dedicating one's life to God. Gladys did so, and soon after, believed that she should go to China as a missionary. She failed her exams set by a missions board, but worked hard and saved all the money she could. She heard about a 73-year-old missionary lady in China who was looking for a younger woman to help her. Gladys wrote to her and was accepted, provided she could pay her own way. Gladys didn't have enough money for a ship fare, but enough to travel by train. She set out on a long journey across Europe and Asia in 1930. She finally reached her destination at an inland city in a mountainous province in China, a little south of Beijing. There she met the missionary lady, Mrs. Lawson, who was still living in an old run-down inn. With some repairs, the inn was made ready for caring for the mule caravans transporting goods from place to place. The first time Gladys saw a mule caravan passing, she rushed out and grabbed the reins of the lead mule and turned it into the courtyard. All the other mules followed, and the mule driver didn't really get a say. They soon learnt that the inn was a good place to stay. Each evening they were given free entertainment by the ladies telling them stories about a man called Jesus, and what they heard they told to other mule drivers at other places. During her time in China, Gladys did some amazing things, but she's best remembered for her great escape across the mountains with one assistant and 100 orphaned children, saving their lives from an advancing Japanese army. She planned to take them to an orphanage on the other side of the mountains. The trip took 12 days. Some nights the group were given shelter, but sometimes they had to sleep under the stars. When we think of the provisions needed for such an expedition if planned, we wonder how Gladys managed such a feat. But God was with her. On the 12th day, they arrived at the Yellow River, with no way to cross it. All boat traffic had stopped, and all civilian boats had been seized to keep them out of the hands of the Japanese. The children wanted to know, "Why don't we cross?" Gladys said, "There are no boats." They said, "God can do anything. Ask Him, and He'll get us across." So they all knelt and prayed. Then they sang. A Chinese officer with a patrol heard the singing and rode up. He heard their story and said, "I think I can get you a boat." He did. So the group crossed, and after a few more difficulties, Gladys delivered her charges into the competent hands of the staff at the orphanage. So much strenuous work for Gladys caused her to be sick for many days afterwards. She returned to England in 1947 for an operation and lived on until 1970. In today's Bible adventure, we have another great escape story that God watched over too.
The wise men from the east, looking for the newborn Messiah, were disappointed at the indifference of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. At Bethlehem, they found the babe in lowly surroundings. No royal guards were near to protect the infant king. None of the world's honored were in attendance. His parents, poor, self-educated peasants, were his only guardians. Even so, when the wise men saw the child, they recognized the presence of divinity and fell down and worshipped Him. They gave their hearts to Him as their Savior, and then poured out their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh.
We found Him, of lowly estate here, but honored in heaven. Our long search is ended, our mission accomplished. Let us now return to our own land.
And don't forget that we must go back by way of Jerusalem and inform King Herod where Christ the Savior is.
We'll get a night's sleep and start early in the morning. Agreed?
Captain! Any word yet from those men from the east who went to Bethlehem to look for an infant king?
No, your majesty. Not a word or a sign of them.
Let me know the instant you hear anything. Those men from the east, too. They've gone home by another way. I'm sure of it.
So am I, your majesty.
But how did they know I was suspicious in the first place? I was very careful to let no one know how I felt about a new king born in Israel.
There can have been but one way, your majesty.
Then who did warn them?
Their God, your majesty.
Their God?
Israelite history records many, many instances where their God has actually helped and rescued them.
How could their God know what I was intending to do? And how could he, or any god for that matter, warn them?
In the past, your majesty, their god has done it in many ways. By dreams, visions, angels, miracles...
Well, I'm not going to let them get away with it, god or no god. I tried to be crafty. That failed, all right? Now I'll use force.
Force succeeds where all else fails.
First, send a swift runner to Bethlehem and find out what became of those men from the east. It's only a few miles, so he should be back here yet today.
Yes, your majesty. Long live the king. Long
live... What about that runner?
He's back, your majesty. Those men from the east left Bethlehem secretly by another route.
Just as I thought. Summon the captain of my guards at once. Captain, take a regiment of your men and go to Bethlehem immediately. You will kill every male child up to the age of 2. None are to escape, or you will lose your life. Understand?
Indeed I do, your majesty.
There'll be no babe in Bethlehem that'll grow up to be king on my throne.
Soon the quiet town of Bethlehem was weeping and wailing at the cruel spectacle of every male child under 2 years of age being put to death by Herod's soldiers. In the desert wastes to the south, a quiet scene was taking place.
The angel said that Herod would seek to kill little Jesus.
I marvel at the indifference, the cruelty, and the apathy of mankind to Jesus, the Son of God. They are actually rejecting him, not receiving him at all. I wonder what lies ahead for my wonderful, sweet Jesus. How long are we to remain in Egypt?
Until the angel bids us to return to Judea. Thanks to the wise men's gifts of gold and precious ointments that can be sold, we have enough wealth for quite a lengthy stay in Egypt, if necessary.
Little Jesus is the Son of God, yet he has no home. I cannot understand this. Yet, I know God has some reason for it.
After a period of time, an angel appeared to Joseph in Egypt.
Arise, Joseph, and take the young child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for Herod is dead, he who sought the young child's life.
And Joseph arose and took the young child and his mother and started home to the land of Israel.
When the wise men visited the baby Jesus in a house in Bethlehem, they brought him costly gifts, usually given to a king. It was customary that foreign government officials bring gifts to court the favor of royalty. This was especially true at the times of royal births. The wise men presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was a lot rarer than it is today. It's always been considered one of the noble metals. No single acid can destroy it, nor will it rust away as iron and tin do. No one can successfully imitate or fake gold, and it can be made into objects of beauty. The wise men recognized Jesus as being royal, but the question is, why? The issue is the Star of Bethlehem. The wise men had seen the star and recognized its importance in the sky as a sign of a remarkable birth. The presenting of this gift indicated that Jesus was royal. The gift of frankincense was expensive and rare. The Jewish people used it only in the temple to worship God. Zechariah the priest took his turn in praying and burning incense at the altar of incense when the angel Gabriel spoke to him. The major ingredient in incense was a sticky substance called frankincense. It was dried sap harvested from a certain type of tree growing in southern Arabia and Ethiopia. When burnt, frankincense gave a bright white flame and a sweet-smelling white smoke. The smoke rising from the altar of incense represented the prayers of the people rising to God in heaven. The wise men presenting this gift to Jesus represented that he was indeed divine. Myrrh was also an extremely valuable gift. Its most common use was as a perfume. Myrrh is a shrub related to the frankincense tree. The sap of the myrrh plant was used by the ancient Egyptians for the burial of important people. The wise men presented this gift to Jesus to convey that he would one day die. The gift almost seems to indicate the fact that Jesus was born to die. There was also a fourth gift the wise men brought. After they laid their treasures down before Mary and Joseph, they worshipped Jesus. These wise men from afar didn't come to seek favors, but to proclaim that they believed him to be the King of Kings. The greatest gift that we can offer to Jesus is ourselves as a living sacrifice each day as we praise and worship him. King Herod thought that he would put an end to God's plan to have a new king born in Bethlehem. When he realized that he'd been tricked out of knowing where the baby boy was, he went on attack. In the history of the world, there have been times when human life has seemed very cheap. When the soldiers slaughtered all the baby boys under 2 years of age in Bethlehem and the surrounding districts, Herod thought that he surely would have eliminated the Christ child. Jesus probably wasn't even 1 year old by then. Some rulers are so evil that they don't understand the capacity of God to ruin their plans. God knew what Herod intended to do, so Joseph was warned in a dream to take his family to Egypt before this event happened. There Joseph could sell the wise men's gifts for a lot of money to help the family to survive until God told them that it was time to go home. It's amazing to us who have the Holy Scriptures that the Jewish people could wait so many centuries for their Messiah to come, and when he did, that the priests didn't believe it, that it could be true, so they rejected him. This rejection was partly due to their focus on making Israel an independent nation again, free from the rule of Rome. Herod, however, thought the priests were plotting against him. Sometimes groups which have nothing in common except one problem make a truce with one another so they can get rid of their common enemy. This didn't happen with the national ruler and the ruling priests at the time Jesus was a child. So baby Jesus had to spend time in Egypt until things were more favorable in Israel. Eventually, however, Joseph had a dream through which he was told that King Herod was now dead and the family could return to Israel. Herod in his personal life was known as an unhappy, ruthless man who murdered many of his own family. He knew how much he was hated by the Jews, and to prevent them from rejoicing in the streets at his death, he ordered the deaths of many prominent Jews so there would be weeping in the streets. Throughout history, there have been people with no conscience at all. They never gave a thought about the one day when they would have to give an account to God for all the terrible things that they've done. Our conscience is the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. People who lose their conscience have nothing left worth keeping. Our conscience warns us as a friend before it punishes us like a judge. The saying, "Let your conscience be your guide," is only valid if God's word is guiding our conscience. If your conscience is telling you that all is not right in your life, do something about it. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive all your sins and give you a clear conscience before him. By doing this, you'll have peace of mind. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.